All right. Hey, we got Jared in the studio today, blowing up Bruno Mars. Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. This is Tanya Brennan, and you are listening and tuning in to the third week of Vegas Sports Girl. It's Tanya time. Here we are on a Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Hope you're having a great Tuesday so far. And we have lots of sports to talk about. All the sports, including updates in the NFL, some news in Major League Baseball, and other news in the NBA, and huge, huge hockey news to talk about for us Vegas Golden Knights fans. But first off, I have a special guest in studio today. I am so privileged to have this guy sit next to me because I'm novice compared to this guy. I mean, this is amazing. I've got Jeff Motley from the Las Vegas Motor Speedway joining us. How you doing, Jeff?
Oh, I'm doing great, Tanya. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
Awesome. And I asked Jeff to come in today. It's very relevant and very timely because the Las Vegas Motor Speedway this weekend has a lot of happenings going on. And so I'm going to have you break it down later in the show. Right, Jeff?
Oh, we are going to be very, very busy starting tomorrow.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to brag about Jeff just for a second here. He has actually been with the Las Vegas Motor Speedway for a few years, right? And you've probably seen him on TV. He's up there communicating. He's head of media relations. He is your vice president of public relations for the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. He's had his own, basically, he's kind of done his own radio show. Now he's on a national radio show. Jeff, tell us what you're doing now.
Yeah, Brendan Gaughan, who's also sometimes a NASCAR driver, he and I have a national NASCAR gambling show. We talk about the odds and the betting spreads on NASCAR races, and we're on the VSiN network, Brent Musburger's network, and we're also on SiriusXM NASCAR radio, and soon to be on the Performance Racing Network as well. So we started this show kind of as just a thing to promote the South Point 400 last summer, and everybody seemed to like it enough that they picked us up for another year to do an entire season. So he and I have a lot of fun with it. Part of that's he and I've been buddies for 20 years, so we enjoy doing it. So, you know, people tune in and check us out on VSiN or on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Awesome. I'm so glad to have you in studio with us. And again, we're going to be basically talking more about what's happening out at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway later in the hour, so you have to stay in tune for the entire hour. And Jeff also handles a lot of the charitable endeavors with the Speedway, which is very important to this show. Can you tell us more about that?
We have our own charity arm at Speedway Children's Charities, and we did our charter for this particular chapter about 20 years ago when Speedway Motorsports, our corporate entity, took over the Speedway in December of 1998. There's a chapter of Speedway Children's Charities in every city that we own a Speedway. But every dollar that we raise here in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. Wow. Last year, I think we benefited a little more than 60 charities to the tune of about $270,000. We're well over $3.5 million since we began our chapter back in 1999, 1998. So we're pretty proud of what we're able to do in the community. And the fact that all the money benefits children in Las Vegas, you know, that's our future. That's not only the future future race fans, but it's the future of Las Vegas and the future of our state and our country. So we really want to make sure that young people have opportunities, especially those that may be a little less fortunate.
Awesome. Well, that is awesome. I love to hear that. And I hear these great stories just like that and the give backs in the community. And part of why I started Vegas Sports Girl was because those stories need to be brought to light, and we need to share those with our community because there's so many opportunities that a lot of us don't know are happening. Athletes getting involved, racers getting involved. So,
and I think that's very important, and not necessarily children things, but, you know, Kurt Busch, who's from Las Vegas, Kurt has bought 100 tickets to every single NASCAR race on the schedule this year. That's 36 races, 100 tickets that he's buying, and he's giving those to the vets. And it's through vettix.com, and we matched his 100 tickets and gave him 100 more tickets that he can give away to the veterans. But he's doing that of his own free will, and it's something that he just wants to do to give back. And that's just an example of what some of these drivers are doing. Almost every driver has their own charity. Ryan Newman and his wife are very involved with pets and rescuing animals. And Kyle Busch and Samantha Busch have been, you know, they have their Bundle of Joy Foundation, and it's about, you know, people who are not able to conceive a child and being able to go through the IVF process and things like that. So there's so many different charities and good things that these drivers are out there doing, and that transcends all sports too. I mean, I see what the Golden Knights do in our community.
Oh, yes.
I see the way that Marvin Menzies and Tony Sanchez has got their athletes from UNLV out in the community doing hospital visits. And when the Shriners Hospitals for Children, the PGA event, comes to town, I mean, look what they do. I mean, the Shriners Hospital, I mean, come on. I mean, they're fantastic what they do. And that is really a benefit for charity. So I think it's just really, really gratifying to see what goes on here in our local community, mm-hmm. as well as around the country with a number of our national athletes, in particular our NASCAR drivers, because they're the ones that I work with on a regular basis. Yep.
Well, I can't wait to learn more about what you do in your industry, because it's fascinating to me. And one of the other reason I wanted you to sit in with me, just because I know you know your sports, and I want to understand more about NASCAR. So my background is very solid with the NFL, NBA, and many of our listeners out there may have a love for NASCAR, but maybe guys don't want to ask the questions, or maybe women want to learn more. So I thought it was very important to have you on to basically help me and actually walk through the whole process of what a NASCAR race looks like.
I'll do my best.
Awesome.
The best thing to do would be to sit and watch a race with me.
I would love that. And I've been out there many times to see races, but...
Well, that's just a way for me. It's like I was fortunate enough. I was watching the duels in a restaurant in Daytona, and Jeff Victor from the D Hotel, Jeff Victor and his father were with me, and we were kind of talking through the race, and it was just different after it was over. They're like, look, that was a different perspective, because I've been around this my whole life. I mean, I was born in Martinsville, Virginia. I was going to races when I was 5 years old, sitting on stacks of tires. So, I mean, it's sort of kind of... It's born into me, to be honest with you.
Speaking of Virginia, there's a big game tonight. We've got Duke
I'm
playing
trying not to look
Virginia.
Up because Duke's going to kill my Hokies. I'm afraid.
Do you think
tonight,
that? You never know.
Look, we're playing without the best point guard in school history right now, and I know Zion Williamson's not playing, but look, Justin Robinson means more to Virginia Tech than Zion Williamson means to Duke. So I'm not feeling sorry for any Blue Devil fans out there right now.
Right. Well, Duke had a big game last week. Against North Carolina, that was a huge loss. I know we talked about it earlier. And Duke dropped that first spot down to the third spot. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens tonight.
Yeah, it will be. I guess I can glance up the TV. I don't know if there's even a score. Maybe they haven't even tipped off yet or not.
I know you will.
I know the crowd is loud because it's in Blacksburg. So the crowd will definitely help a little bit. But, you know, it's like sometimes they say it's not so much about the X's and the O's. It's about the Jimmies and the Joes.
Absolutely.
And Duke's got more of the Jimmies and Joes than we have. So I'm a little nervous about how we're going to fare tonight.
Well, good luck tonight.
Thank you.
I think you guys will be just fine.
I hope so.
And also, Vegas Sports Girl, if you go to the website, you can actually place your bets. So if you want to put a bet on that game
tonight.
Duke's
a 3.5-point favorite, and I'm telling you, maybe it's just because I think Duke is going to cover that line.
You never know.
I hope I'm wrong, so don't go bet it because I said that.
Right. Well, let's go Virginia Tech, right?
Go Hokies.
All right. In hockey news, so some big news here in Las Vegas. Our fabulous Vegas Golden Knights were part of a huge trade yesterday. They traded forward Oscar Lindberg, defenseman prospect Eric Brandstorm, and a second round pick in the 2020 hockey draft this is a huge win. In my opinion, I think it's brilliant by Mr. George McPhee. The 26-year forward Mark Stone, who actually led the Senators in goals with 28 and 62 points in 59 games this season. He scored 20 goals, in each of the past 5 seasons. So basically, the motive to bring Mr. Stone on was, let's put some points on the board.
Well, it certainly is. He becomes the team's leading scorer as soon as he steps on the ice. I think the biggest part of the story, though, is the fact that they were actually able to sign him to a long-term deal.
Yes.
I don't think the Golden Knights are in a position that they need to be renting players out of desperation. You know, if you're sitting there and you're an NHL team that's been in the league for 20 years and you've never sniffed a Stanley Cup, then you would sell your soul to try to win one Stanley Cup. But I think if you're the Golden Knights, you're in your second year of existence, you're really trying to build for a great future. I'm glad they did not make a trade for a guy who was going to be gone at the end of the year.
Absolutely.
And the fact that they've signed him long-term... Yes, we lost a really good prospect, but I think you really have to weigh and forget about Lindberg and whoever this draft pick is going to be in 2020. You have to say to yourself, Stone is the proven entity. You've got a prospect who, yes, he's a high prospect, but he's not proven. Stone for 8 years or the prospect for 8 years. I'm going to take Stone for 8 years because I know what I'm getting.
And I think he's excited. Well, I'm hoping he's excited to be here in Las
Vegas.
Would
you not be excited to go from Ottawa, Canada, to a team that's terrible, to a team that's going to make the playoffs and
Absolutely.
Live in Las Vegas?
Entertainment capital of the world.
Unless his mom and dad live in Ottawa, or and maybe even if his mom and dad live in Ottawa, now they can come visit him in Las Vegas. So I'm thinking more about poor Oscar Lindbergh. Can you imagine? One day you're living in Las Vegas, you're going to the playoffs. The next thing you know, you're living in Ottawa. And you're going to be not going to the playoffs?
That's going to be tough for him.
He might become a star up there, though, because I think they traded all their good players in Ottawa.
Well, I saw the welcome.
They had good players, and they were bad already. How bad are they going to be now?
Good win for the Vegas Golden Knights. And I don't know if you saw Mr. Stone's welcome at the airport yesterday, but the Golden Knights do it right. I mean, they sent the drummers at the drum line and the cheerleaders, and he had a smile from ear to ear, and there were fans out there already. He was signing autographs. So with billboards, we got billboards in the city.
Tanya, nobody welcomed us at the airport like
Why was that? Is there a little favoritism here?
Absolutely.
You know why?
Absolutely.
It's their second year, that's why. And they almost made it to the Stanley Cup.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. And I'm sure it made him feel welcome.
Good for him. Well, Vegas Golden Knights actually play tonight against the Dallas Stars at T-Mobile Arena. The puck drops at 7 p.m. And then they play this Thursday against the Florida Panthers at T-Mobile as well. So they'll be at home for a while. Good for them. And Friday, they're going to take on the Ducks in Anaheim. So just kind of keeping track of the other teams in the Pacific West Division. The Kings lost last night. Big loss in the shootout in OT. I can't stand watching those shootouts.
Really?
Oh, they make me so nervous.
Well, like, I can see why, that because it can be over just like that. But then again, any hockey game, I mean, once you get into overtime, it can be over like that. I mean,
right.
If somebody scores in that 5 minute 3-on-3 or something happens there in the shootout, especially after you've been through three rounds of the shootout. So then you're in a sudden death shootout. Those can be pretty tense, but if you get into playoff hockey and you get to overtime and they don't do the shootouts, that's pretty intense too.
It's intense. And for some reason this year, I feel our Knights have been in that position many times, more so this year than last.
Well, number one, they're not sneaking up on anybody this
year.
I mean, I think last year, you know, there was the talk about the Vegas flu, and yeah, I think some of these teams probably came to Vegas and thought, oh, it's an expansion team. You know, none of those guys over there were very good players on their team. They were, other than maybe Fleury and James Neal. And I think guys just thought they were going to beat them. And I think by the time they realized that the Knights were a pretty good team, it was too late. And I don't think this year they're sneaking up on anybody. And most of these guys, they've been to Vegas a bunch now.
Absolutely.
They've either come here and they played the Knights, or they came here for the award ceremony the last two or three years. So while Vegas is a great town, those guys realize now this is a business trip. If I'm going to come in, I'm going to enjoy all that Las Vegas has to offer, I'll do it during the offseason. I'm not going to do it the night before I play
the game.
Golden Knights.
Right. Well, for me, the most fascinating part of the game is that hour before the game, all the pregame hoopla.
You're hanging out in the park or at the beer house.
So tonight, if you're going to the game, I suggest get there early, do the valet thing at New York or Monte Carlo, and show up at 6 tonight, because that's always the fun part.
Go down to the park. That's what we like. If we get there early, we go down to the park and enjoy the beer house for a little while. And
I know you guys do some work with the park too, with the Speedway. You have all your packages and whatnot too.
The pre-deal for us is huge, because you've got all kinds of stuff going on out in the fan engagement area, in the midway area, and we got the neon garage. There's driver appearances and all that stuff. So the lead up to a NASCAR race is pretty insane, and ours really is like a 3 hour lead up. But we only get to do it twice a year, and they get to do it about 40 times a year or whatever. So
a lot of fun. Go Knights, go. So have fun tonight at the game, and hopefully we'll pull out a win. We need to get back on track.
Go Knights, go. Need to win one.
I know it. Well, I know we've got to be heading out to break here in just a second. So stay tuned. We've got more coming up with Mr. Jeff Motley and the Speedway. Hey, I like this song. Start Me Up. Just for the races, Mr. Jeff Motley.
It's like right after drivers start your engines, it's time to play the Rolling Stones and let's go.
I love it. Some good music. Thanks, Jared. All right. Welcome to Vegas Sports Girl. Glad you're tuning in this fine Tuesday afternoon. If you haven't looked us up on social media, find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram under Vegas Sports Girl. Check us out on VegasSportsGirl.com. You can go out, check the site out. There's opportunities to place bets, see what's happening on the show, watch the podcast. But joining us in studio, Mr. Jeff Motley from the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Thanks for being here again, Jeff.
Absolutely. I'm having a ball.
You are so good. It's so fun to have this dynamic in the room. Strong. wrong dynamic. I was just teasing Jeff because I said, you know, in stilettos, sports brought to you in stilettos. Does that mean I got to get you a pair of stilettos, Jeff?
I think I'm going to stick to the ones I've got because I'd probably have two broken ankles before I got out that door if you tried to put those on me.
I want to thank our sponsor, Finley Volvo. Thank you so much for sponsoring Vegas Sports Girl. Jim DiGiulio, if you want to drive a Volvo, go to West Sahara and see Jim. Say hello. Tell him Tanya sent you. Hopefully he'll be nice to you. I'm sure he will. Thanks to Justin Finley as well. Always so supportive of Vegas Sports Girls. So thank you again to the Finley family. Anyhow, NFL news. We think the season is over, but there's always drama.
The NFL finds a way to stay in the headlines 12 months out of the year.
All the time.
I mean, now, granted, they probably would prefer Robert Kraft had stayed out of the headlines last week or so.
But that hurts.
They still got themselves in the headlines. And the New England Patriots are in the headlines.
Are still in the headlines. I feel like the Patriots are always in the headlines.
The Patriots and my Cowboys. The Cowboys got Randy Gregory looking at a suspension now. So what's new? He does that every year, it seems like. It's like four things now you can count on. Life, death, taxes, and Randy Gregory getting suspended
exactly.
for the start of the season.
Exactly. So. The Dallas Cowboys, Jeff. What are they going to do this year?
I have no earthly idea. I don't know.
There are so many Cowboy fans out there.
There are. And I'll tell you why I'm a Cowboys fan. I grew up in Virginia, but when I was a small kid, you didn't have all these NFL games on all the time. The Redskins were there close by where I lived, but the Redskins were terrible. That was back in the horrible Jack Pardee years. Mm-hmm. And Roger Staubach was a quarterback of the Cowboys, wow. and they were on TV every Sunday. And I was a Roger Staubach fan more than I was a Dallas Cowboys fan, and that just sort of morphed into one with Tony Dorsett. I'm showing my age now, and Drew Pearson and all those guys. And so even when Jerry Jones bought the team, I was not overly excited because
sure.
I was a Tom Landry guy
Absolutely.
And everything. But you know, they'd win 3 Super Bowls in 4 years there in the 90s, and it's kind of been a little hard times ever since. So
it's really tough when your franchise is at the pinnacle of just success and you're so used to winning. I worked for the 49ers for 7 years, and after 5 Super Bowls, the last Super Bowl we won was in 94. Look at our organization.
They beat the Cowboys in the playoffs to get there, I believe.
They did. I have to tell you about a game. The Niners played Dallas in the NFC Championship, and I remember being a cheerleader on the field, and Alvin Harper was giving me smack the entire game. He kept coming up to me saying...
He was paying attention to the cheerleaders.
Yeah, not paying attention to the game.
That may be why they lost.
He kept coming up to me on the side going, we're going to kick Gary, you know what, today? And then at the end, throughout the entire game, and it was a close game, we ended up coming out with a win. And so what did I do at the end? I said, where's Alvin? I need to go find him. And I did.
That's great. You know, I have an old buddy of mine who lives here in Las Vegas who actually used to race out at our Speedway for a long time, who played on those 49er teams. He was the kicker, a guy named Mike Kofer.
Yeah.
And Mike's lived here in Las Vegas for probably almost 20 years now, and he was an amateur racer,
uh-huh.
but he kind of got out of the racing gig, and I think he's actually coaching high school football or something here in town. But I haven't talked to him in years, but we used to go play golf together and knew each other really well. But once he stopped racing, I haven't seen him in a long time, but I know he's been a long-time Vegas guy, and he played on some of those
teams.
Wow.
I worked with Mike Kofer. I had no idea. He was into racing. That's pretty fascinating.
Oh, yeah. He, in fact, was our track champion 1 year in super late models. Beat Kyle Busch in a couple of races out at
wow.
the Speedway. So, yeah, Mike was very good.
That's just awesome.
He was older, and, you know, they're only wanting to give money to younger drivers and everything. So it was a little bit of a uphill battle there.
Wow. That's awesome. Speaking of the 49ers, we actually just tagged our kicker, which is a good thing, Robbie Gould. We signed him.
Isn't he like 40 years old?
I know, but you know what? He's a clutch player for the 49ers. Do you know how many games they won last year because of a field goal?
Okay, but if you only win 4 games, does it really matter if you have a clutch kicker?
I don't know. It was either signing with the Niners or going to the Bears.
Well, what did he win, like 4 games?
The Niners.
How many did they win
probably,
last year?
Probably.
Four
but
or five
it wasn't,
games?
It wasn't just Robbie. It was
well,
our
I'm
team.
I'm not blaming the kicker. I'm just saying if you only win 4 or 5 games, maybe it's somebody else you need a franchise, not your
possibly,
kicker.
Possibly. So, nonetheless, we signed him to a new contract of $5 million in his tag in 2019. That's after the first 2 years. He only averaged $2 million over the last 2 years. So, he's a good guy, though. He does a lot in the community, a lot of give back. So it was
That's
either.
Good. And I don't want to make fun of the kicker, you know. I mean, Manny Machado is looking at that contract saying, well, he's going to be staying at the Motel 6 every night. You
yes.
Know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I got to tell you, good news for our Las Vegas Raiders, future Las Vegas Raiders. They now finally know where they're playing next season.
the same place they've been playing.
So they will be playing in Oakland at the Coliseum. I know that there were talks about them possibly playing at the San Francisco Giants Stadium or the 49er Levi Stadium, and the Niners were open to that. I was very surprised, but Mr. Davis said, no, we are staying in Oakland, and we're going to play in Oakland.
Well, and obviously, I guess they got their lawsuit, you know, resolved, because I think that was their big sticking point. And, you know, I tell you, I've been very, very fortunate, you know, in the short period of time that some of the Raiders folks have been here to interact with a number of their folks. And I will tell you what a great organization. What a great group of guys, you know, from Mark Bedain, their president.
Class act.
And Mark Shearer and Brandon Dahl and some of the other folks over there. I just have been so impressed, not only with the way they've come in from a professional standpoint and really blended into the community, but also what high character guys they all are personally. You can just tell that when you interact with them. So, you know, I like I said, I've been a Cowboys fan. I've never really hated the Raiders. I've never loved the Raiders. I've never really had a strong opinion. I kind of used to think they were pretty cool when Ken Stabler was a quarterback.
Oh, Ken Stabler was great.
I was a big Stabler fan.
Yes.
And I've never been like this. Oh, I can't stand the Raiders guy. And, you know, I'm kind of really warming up to the Raiders. I mean, we'll see when they start playing here, but just getting to know some of those guys and just seeing how high character that those guys are, it makes me really feel good about the future of the NFL in Las Vegas.
What's amazing to me is how many players the Raiders still have, I'm going to say on the roster or in their family, that played years ago that are still part of the organization that are here in Vegas. You see them all the vets.
Well, and you watch a Raiders game, and you got a bunch of those guys. You know, all see Jim Plunkett and Jim Otto and all these guys sitting up there in the box with Mark Davis. And I know that Napoleon McCallum lives here.
He's here.
Lives here in town. And you do see a number of the players who come back here to do events. And even when they did announce the groundbreaking of their practice facility out there, the fact that Derek Carr was here for that, I thought was quite impressive. But you know, it's interesting. You know, the Raiders are one of those organizations where those people who are with them for a long time or they really identify as Raiders, they never really leave, even if they maybe get traded. Like Ken Stabler got traded at the end of his career and played in Houston and New Orleans, but he was a Raider. You know, all those guys, Jim Plunkett, you know, he finished up with the Raiders, but he started out with New England and San Francisco, but he was a Raider. He went to the Super Bowl as a Raider. And that's why Jim Plunkett sits up there in Mark Davis's box, and he's not sitting over in the 49ers box or sitting in Robert Kraft's box.
Sure.
So I just think there's something about that organization and the Davis family who has owned that team for 50 years that they really treat those players like family.
Well, it's going to be interesting just from a spectator standpoint to see with all those teams coming in now to Vegas, how that's going to impact. I think it's a great thing for our city. You're having the Denver Broncos come into our city, the Patriots. So it's really good for our community and also just tourism in general.
It is. And I think it's going to be amazing for tourism and on two fronts. Number one, you're correct. I mean, and I think you've been to a lot of NFL games. I've been to several NFL games. There are a lot of NFL teams who travel like crazy.
Yes.
And the fact that they're going to be able to come to Las Vegas, someplace maybe they haven't been before to a game, is going to attract not just the ones in their own division like Kansas City and Denver. And I don't know if the Chargers have any fans that will travel, but that's another story for another day. But if they're playing any of these other teams, whether it's Pittsburgh or Dallas or Green Bay or New England, they're still going to bring a lot of people here. But here's the other great thing for tourism here. The Raiders are California's team.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know you were with the 49ers. But I know the Rams are, but I think the Raiders have probably got more fans in the state of California than any other team, and maybe almost than the other three teams combined. So how many people from the Bay Area in Southern California that are Raiders fans are going to come to Las Vegas for the weekend, and they're going to stay in our hotels, and they're going to eat in our restaurants, and they're going to drink in our bars, and they're going to play at our slot machines and our gaming tables, and bring money into our economy to support the home team? I mean, that's different. You know, you don't get that if you're somewhere else. If you're in Denver, 95% of the fans are probably driving in for the game and driving back home. That's not going to happen here for the Raiders. Now, there will be some. We're going to have a lot of locals here who are going to be Raiders fans. But I think the amount of people who are going to come from out of town that are Raiders fans is going to be amazing.
It's going to be very interesting to see them here. And just all the hype, even right now, I know that they're being very well situated in Vegas, but also staying in Oakland because they're still in Oakland. But as the time gets nearer and they're getting more involved, it's very exciting for our city. We didn't have sports like this 18 years ago. I moved here about 18 years ago, and who would have never known?
Well, it's amazing. I mean, you know, I moved here a little over 20 years ago, but about 20 years and 2 months now. And we had the NASCAR race that had just gotten here.
You're 25. You're 25.
I wish I were 25. Yeah, I was a toddler when I got here. But when I got here, you know, we'd just gotten the NASCAR race. The first one was 98. We had minor league baseball, and you had a golf tournament that had only been here for a few years, mm-hmm. and it really kind of got put on the map because Tiger Woods won it in 1996. But before that, really all you had was the glory days of the Rebels when Tark was a coach at UNLV.
My gosh.
And they
good
really,
times.
Really owned this town. But it was so few things going on. And now, I mean, not only have we added the Raiders and we've added the Golden Knights, but we've also got a soccer team now. And we've got a women's basketball team with the WNBA. And we've seen the rise of the UFC mm-hmm. and having their headquarters here. And certainly over the last 30 years, we've seen the National Finals Rodeo. It's another huge event that's growing. And we've added USA Sevens Rugby, which has been coming here for a number of years, which has been a phenomenal international event for us. So to see all these different events coming to Las Vegas. And the other day, I went to see a hockey game between the University of Minnesota and North Dakota State? I get them confused. I think it was North Dakota. At the Orleans Arena, there was not a seat to be had.
Wow.
That game sold out in less than an hour. And
wow.
It was unbelievable. It was a hockey atmosphere. Now, it was a North Dakota home game, so the Gophers only had about 75 seats, so the other, like, 8,000 people there were all North Dakota fans. But I was like, that can only happen in Las Vegas. Minnesota and North Dakota are not going to go play in Texas and get that crowd.
Sure.
They're probably not going to go to Iowa and get that crowd, and both states are right there by Iowa. But they come to Las Vegas, and there are all these people that are coming from Minnesota and North Dakota to watch one hockey game, not a two out of three or anything. One hockey game on one night at the Orleans Arena. And there's 8,000 people there.
That's amazing. I would have never thought how much I love hockey. I would have never thought that would have been on my radar. I'm such a hockey fan.
You're a hockey fan or you're a Golden Knights fan?
I'm a Golden Knights fan.
Well, because tell you why I asked that question.
Yes.
Because I consider myself a Golden Knights fan, mm-hmm. but I have not gotten to where I'd say I'm a hockey fan because I'm probably, if I'm flipping through the channels and I see the Columbus Blue Jackets playing the Florida Panthers, I'm not going to watch. I watched some playoff hockey last year because the Knights were in it. I was interested. Until then, I really never watched hardly any playoff hockey until it would get to the Stanley Cup Finals. And I'm still not sure that's not where I'm still at.
That's a great point. Yeah.
I think, you know, whereas I could sit around and I can sit there on Thursday night and watch the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Tennessee Titans play a football game. And, I mean, unless I got a fantasy player going or had a bet on
you're
the
neutral.
Game, I'm completely
right.
neutral. But I'll watch it because it's an NFL game on Thursday night and I'm going to watch it. I'm not sure. I know I'm not there yet with hockey. And I'm not there with the NBA either. Mm-hmm. So, and we mm-hmm. don't have a team in the NBA, but I hardly watch an NBA game until we get to the playoffs either.
Well, the Vegas Golden Knights, they just won the hearts of so many. I know they won my heart. I mean,
absolutely. And that's what I mean. I'm a fan of the Golden Knights.
Yeah,
I'm just not sure I'm as much of a fan of hockey.
Well, some other NFL news, and you know, we got to kick it out to break here in a second. The Combine starts today and goes through March 4th. A couple notable players coming up through the Combine. Kyler Murray from Oklahoma has basically come out and said, I will play in the NFL.
And you know, if he had not gone to the NFL, that he would end up playing for our Aviators because he was in the Oakland A's organization. And we have the Oakland A's. And I remember talking to Chuck Johnson saying, hey, you might get the Heisman Trophy winner over here. And he says, fingers crossed. And still, if you know what, football doesn't work out, I think the Oakland A's still hold his rights.
That's interesting that you say that because that conversation is still being had in the league. While the NFL teams love him, they're still concerned. Is he going to jump ship and go play in the Major League Baseball?
Well, I think he's kind of made an NFL commitment right now for a little while. And I think, but you know, we've seen guys that have tried to do that and it hasn't worked. I personally, if I could play baseball or I could play football, there's a no-brainer. I'd be playing baseball. I don't quite understand. I look at Joe Mauer. Joe Mauer, he was the National High School Football Player of the Year, and he was the National High School Baseball Player of the Year. He was the number one quarterback recruit in America, signed with Florida State, and said the only way I won't go to Florida State is if my hometown Minnesota Twins make me the number one pick in the draft. And lo and behold, the Twins draft Joe Mauer with the number one pick in the draft. He grew up in St. Paul, St. Paul kid, and decided to play baseball for the Twins. But I think he probably looked back on his career and say, I did the right thing.
That's interesting. Speaking of baseball, before we go to break, what are your thoughts on Bryce Harper?
Wow. It's obvious he wants to be a Dodger. Mm-hmm. I think the Phillies seem to be throwing a little more money at him, maybe even than the Dodgers, but he's a West Coast kid. He loves Vegas. That's why he's here during the offseason. I think he really, really, really wants to be a Dodger, and I think the Phillies want him worse than anybody out there. if I'm a bet man, I'd say he's a Dodger.
I think the Dodgers are such a great team right now. So talented, robust, just roster that they could probably win it all as is. And then adding Bryce is just another great dynamic. What do you think?
Absolutely. Now, the Phillies have loaded up their team, mm-hmm. too. If they added Bryce Harper, they'd be tough. And then you got all those American League teams over there with all those big bashers in New York and Boston and Houston and some of those teams. So there's a lot of good baseball teams out there. I'm an Orioles fan. We're not one of them. We're a bad baseball team right
now. That's all right. You're a fan. All right, guys. Well, we will be back with more with Jeff. Welcome to Vegas Sports Girl. And the music is so fitting. I was trying to get Jeff a pair of earphones here. I don't think he wanted to mess up his hair.
No, I just didn't know you were going to be playing cool tunes. I just thought I was going to be hearing you in my ear, and I'm thinking I'm sitting 3 feet from you. I don't need earphones. But now I'm missing out on all the cool tunes.
That's okay. We're actually customizing all the tunes just right for you and what we're looking at this weekend. Jeff Motley joins us here on Vegas Sports Girl. We've got some major things happening out at the Speedway for all you NASCAR fans. And one of the things that I want Jeff to help me understand, first and foremost, there's a lot of different races this weekend, but there's one big race on Sunday that I want you to talk about, kind of the whole process of how these racers get to that phase or to that race. Tell us more.
It's kind of like any sport at the major league level, if you will. And that's what what is the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, which is what will be racing on Sunday with the Pennzoil 400. Mm-hmm. It's no different than, you know, the baseball players have to work their way up through rookie ball, A ball, double A ball, triple A ball. They eventually make the majors. Mm-hmm. Well, NASCAR is no different. Most guys start racing at little places like our Bullring that sits behind the Super Speedway out here. That's where guys like Kurt and Kyle Busch cut their teeth, racing on a little weekly short track on Saturday nights where you've got some teenagers racing and you got some 40-something, 50-something-year-old men all racing against each other. The young ones, probably, if they have an opportunity to move up, then maybe they move into a regional touring series where they're racing just on the West Coast or just on the East Coast. Then they would move up to the Truck Series, which we race on Friday night. That would be like the AA Series if you're comparing it to baseball. And then there's the Xfinity Series race, which will be on Saturday afternoon. That's the Boyd Gaming 300. That would be like AAA baseball. And then if you are good enough, then you move on up to the very top level. And that's what we have with the Cup Series.
For the Xfinity, what do the cars look like?
They are almost identical to the Cup cars. You really cannot tell them apart. They have a little less horsepower, a little bit difference in weight on the cars. But you really, if you were looking at them with the naked eye, you would not be able to tell the difference.
So Sunday is your big race.
Yes.
And how many racers should we expect on the track?
We will probably have 38 cars in the starting field. We probably will have, I'd say 20 to 22 of them, if they hit it right, could win. Certainly, there's certain guys who are stronger than others. I mean, there's no question that you've got Brad Keselowski, who won our race here in the fall, and he just won last weekend at Atlanta, who's going to be a top contender. You've got the ones they call the quote-unquote big three from last year that won most mm-hmm. of the races in Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, and Martin Truex Jr. But you've also got the series champion, Joey Logano. You've got Kurt Busch, who's also from Las Vegas,
yes.
who's been at this for almost 20 years now, who's going to be a competitor. You got his teammate, Kyle Larson, who led a lot of laps at Atlanta last week and didn't win. And then you've also got two guys that really, really struggled last week, but in Jimmy Johnson, who's a 7-time series champion, he's one of only 3 in the history of the sport, along with Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt. And then you got the most popular driver out there, a guy that really ran well at the end of last year, Chase Elliott. But Chase Elliott and Jimmy Johnson's teams did not perform very well at Atlanta last week, so I know that they've got a lot of work to do to try to get there. But that's just some of the big stars that'll be competing in the race.
Nice.
And probably of those names I threw out, you could pretty much go to the bank that one of them's probably going to win it.
I was just going to ask you, can you share who the favorite is?
I would imagine. I have not seen the odds yet. And, of course, Brendan and I will be talking that on our show on Thursday, and we'll probably get our odds tomorrow. I would probably say that Kevin Harvick and Brad Keselowski will be the favorites,
okay.
with Kyle Busch probably right behind them as the next driver down. But I think you're probably going to see Keselowski and Harvick both going off about 3-1, Kyle Busch maybe off about 4-1, and maybe Joey Logano, Martin Truex Jr. both around 5 or 6-1. Kyle Larson will probably go around 7-1. If I'm guessing, that'll probably be what the lines will be.
I was always fascinated by how far they can go and how long without taking a break.
Well, and that's one of the things. You know, it's funny. People say, are race car drivers athletes? And I like to ask the question, so give me some traits of an athlete. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great hand-eye coordination.
Skill,
mm-hmm. strength, endurance. Tell me one of those that a NASCAR driver doesn't have. Don't tell me you have to be able to run fast to be an athlete, because then I'll take every offensive lineman in the NFL.
Sure.
Don't tell me you have to jump high to be an athlete. I'll take every catcher in baseball. Those are not what it takes. It says you are an athlete. Mm-hmm. It's being able to have all those other qualities at whatever it is you're excelling. I mean, golfers are a different kind of athlete than an NBA player, and they're a different kind of athlete than a NASCAR driver or any type of race car driver, or anybody in motorsports, whether you're riding motorcycles or whatever it is you're doing. They are different levels of athlete, but they're still athletes in their own world.
Tell us what to expect from a fan standpoint. So upon arrival, what are we expecting?
Well, I think there's more to it than a race. And mm-hmm. I think that's one thing that we always try to get out, you know, in the NASCAR world is yes, there is the event. There's the throw the green flag and throw the checkered flag. And in the middle of it, you're racing around for 267 laps. But there's so much other things that go on. I mean, the drivers make appearances. Like, for example, we have a driver's meeting where all drivers in the field must attend. We do ours in the public. We do mm-hmm. it in the middle of our infield in an area we call the Neon Garage, which is like a fan zone. So all the fans can come to the same driver's meeting that the drivers are at
awesome.
To hear all the instructions, and they can see all the competitors. It's almost like being able to be in the locker room before a game.
And who leads that meeting?
That is led by NASCAR.
Okay.
So NASCAR has a NASCAR official who will lead that meeting. And they have these giant TV screens that they will put a lot of examples, and they tailor each meeting to the racetrack that they're at. So everything on that screen is all Las Vegas Motor Speedway, and it's everything from what is your pit road speed, where is the restart zone. Mm-hmm. The restart zone is the area on the track where whoever's leading the race after a caution flag and are going to go back to running at full speed that he has to start the race by. So they give them a window of where they have to start. So between two lines. So they let them know where are those two lines on the track. And so if you don't go, then everybody can pass you. But if you go within those lines and somebody passes you before you hit the accelerator, then they're penalized.
Wow.
So that's one of the examples of something that they're trying to tell those guys in the meeting.
So what I'm always fascinated to is the quantity of sponsors these racers have. It's amazing.
Well, it's sort of, to some degree, sponsors become the lifeblood of the mm-hmm. sport. And NASCAR has always been that way. I think auto racing has kind of always been that way. It's different. It's not like the team sports. It's just completely different because it is a team sport, but it's a team sport that's kind of headlined by individuals. So you really need the sponsorship money to keep going, because it's not going to be just the purse winnings. The purse winnings are not enough to sustain. I mean, if you think about it, how much money, with the exception of the salary, do you really need for a basketball player? You need a uniform.
Sure.
You need basketballs. You need sneakers. Mm-hmm. That's about all you need. Mm-hmm. Even if you're playing golf, okay, set of golf clubs, golf balls, golf shoes, you know, some fancy pants, nice shirt, funny little hat, you know, gloves. I mean, what are we talking here? Maybe $2,000?
Right.
Race cars, every race car is at least $250,000. And most of these guys have got different cars for different racetracks. So they're sitting there with a shop somewhere in North Carolina with probably $3.5 million worth of equipment. No other sport comes anywhere near that. I mean, not even in the ballpark mm-hmm. of needing $3.5 million worth of equipment just, and that's before you crash one or blow an engine and have to repair a fender or repair a hood or whatever it is, or rebuild a new engine because you've blown one up or blown a valve or something like that. You know, if you blow out a sneaker like Zion Williamson, you go get another
sure.
pair of sneakers
exactly.
for $300 and off you go. Well, you don't do that in NASCAR. And that's why the sponsors are so important, because there's never going to be enough money simply in the prize money mm-hmm. that is going to be able to pay the bills, because the amount, the expense that it takes just to get going is way more than any other sport.
So how often do racers have to practice or actually work a specific track prior to a race?
Well, for example, they probably will do maybe 3 or 4 test sessions a year that NASCAR approves, which one of those was in Las Vegas about a month ago. Mm-hmm. We had a test session here January 31st and February 1st, and we had about 16, 18 of the drivers that come out. But on a race weekend, I'll give an example. What we will do, we will have a one-hour practice for the Cup Series guys on Friday. They will have 2 1-hour practices on Saturday, and then they go race on Sunday. So there'll be 3 hours worth of practice, and then there's about a 45-minute qualifying session that'll take place on Friday afternoon. So they're in the car probably for 3 to 3 hours and 45 minutes before the race over the course of 2 days.
Wow, that's pretty fascinating. I just can't believe the speed. You think you'd get dizzy every time you go around.
And that's one of the cool things about NASCAR. You know, we talked about hockey. And you talked about how you've become a hockey fan. Mm-hmm. Well, you go to a hockey game and you see how fast those guys skate and how fast that puck flies up and down the ice. You can't get that same perspective sometimes when you're watching it on television because everything is relative. If every guy is skating at the same speed and you're watching it on TV, you can't tell how fast they're going. Well, a NASCAR race or any type of race is the same way. Mm-hmm. If you're watching on TV and there's 38 cars out there and they're all running close to the same speed, you can't get perspective. Now, you go to a race and you sit in the grandstands where you're sitting still and those 38 cars come by you at 195 miles per hour. Now, that's an eye-opening experience Then you're like, oh, okay, now I get it.
Now I get it.
I mean, you can drive down I-15 and you want to speed and go 85 or 90 miles an hour, knock yourself out, go have fun. Now, do that with 37 other cars, 2 inches separating each other's bumpers and about 2 inches separating your door handles, and try not to hit somebody or cause a big pileup. And that's at 95. They're not at 195 or 85. I hope you're not going 95.
I was just
going
to ask you, what's the speed? 185 about?
I think, well, the qualifying record in Las Vegas is about 196.
Okay.
They made some rules changes on the cars that have probably slowed them down a little. I think we'll probably see a qualifying speed somewhere probably in the mid to 180s.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still hauling the mail.
So now, is there a special retail for wives?
Special retail,
fashion retail.
There is,
for the wives.
In fact, if you go to every one of the souvenir trailers, they have women's clothing.
Right.
Almost everyone. In fact, if you look at the demographics on NASCAR, we are one of the only sports that's 50-50 male to female.
I love it. I love it.
Probably more women are NASCAR fans in a percentage basis than any other sport.
You know, I have to ask that question.
Well, it's a fair question.
Right.
And it's something that I wish we had more female drivers out there. You know, Danica Patrick did not really have the success that a lot of people had hoped she would have. I really think we have a young lady that I think she's either getting ready to be 18 or she mm-hmm. may have just turned 18, who's going to be racing at our track on Thursday night in a dirt car. Her name is Haley Deegan. Remember that name? Haley Deegan, I think. No woman has ever won a NASCAR-sanctioned event on a national or regional level. And I will not be surprised if she doesn't win this race on Thursday night. She's
That's awesome.
And I don't know if people are into the motocross or the off-road stuff, but her father is Brian Deegan, who founded the Metal Militia that was a big motocross group. He's been one of the greatest motorcycle riders in the world. He's an off-road racer now, a trophy truck racer part-time because he's really more like full-time car owner, crew chief, and dad to Haley right now. But watch her because I think she's going to be – and if we could get more women that are being successful, that will even bring more as fans into the sport.
Sure. I might have to talk to you about creating my own stiletto with the Speedway logo on it because I want to have a line of stilettos.
Well, we might be able to do that. I don't know how that will work if you actually got in the car.
We can figure it out.
You know, one time we had Britney Spears out trying to do the petty school and she showed up in stilettos and no other shoes and she got in the car and she could barely get her little toe on the gas pedal because her heel was hitting on the, before her toe could get there. It was a mess. I think she went about 70 miles an hour.
Speaking of the petty experience, I'll never forget that. I was scared out of my mind. I did a ride along. And I was screaming so loud I couldn't even hear my scream.
That's good.
I don't know how they do this. It's amazing, though.
And he is probably running about 25 miles per hour slower than they're racing.
Right.
And you were all by yourself out there without any other cars around.
Right.
And you were scared to death.
Oh, my goodness.
So now you see what those guys are doing when they're getting out there racing.
I give the wives credit. Because that's got to be a little
pretty
scary.
Nerve-wracking. Yeah. I think it'd be really nerve-wracking when you see them crash. I think probably the race is going on, everything looks normal, but I think if you probably if it's a female racer and your husband out there, I think seeing your spouse flipping down a back straightaway or mm-hmm. turning end over end somewhere would probably have anybody's heart in their throat.
Awesome. Well, we'll be back. We have more to talk about this weekend and also how we might be able to get involved if we're not involved yet or how we can attend. Stay tuned. sports girl. Jared, I love your music picks. And next to me, Jeff Motley is like sliding out of his chair.
Yeah, it's like funny. It's like kind of leaning a little bit more to one side than the other. And I know that one side of me does not weigh more than the other. I mean, my whole side weighs a little too much, but I'm, you know, it's kind of sliding over here. I don't know what's going on.
I look to my right and Jeff's sliding to the side, and he's like, my chair's lopsided. I think we have to do something about
that.
Tony
Benici's
kind of fun.
Listening. He doesn't want me to fall out and sue him or anything over here.
Yes. So. And we're going to give a shout out to John Cecenti, who is doing something today. Supposed to be moving.
He's not. All I know is he's not here, and I am here.
And I'm so glad you're here. John, you missed out.
John, this chair may not be here for you next week.
That's right. That is right. So just a little update on the Duke versus the VA Tech game.
Yeah,
you're winning,
well, yeah,
Jeff.
You want to call play-by-play for 28 seconds? No,
I know.
No, we're winning by five, so at least we're going to take a lead into the halftime here. It may not be 5 points since we just threw the ball away. But
I told you, you guys were going to hold your own. This is great.
Okay, I guess. Okay, I hope you guys didn't go bet that 3.5 line yet.
So. All right. Jeff Motley joins us. We have a few more minutes. We want to still talk about what's happening this weekend, the races. How many attendees are you guys looking at this weekend?
Well, over the course of the entire weekend, we'll probably have more than 150,000, 175,000 people that will be on the property. And we have 5 days of racing because we race 2 days at our dirt track and then the 3 days on the super speedway.
Wow.
And I think that's just, and not just a speedway. I want to just take a minute to say how great it is for this city this weekend. I mean, we call this the ultimate Vegas sports weekend, mm-hmm. but we've got two Golden Knights games in town. Mm-hmm. Forget the road game in Anaheim, wherever they're playing, but they're in town Thursday and Sunday. And we've got the Tough Heat'em and Bull Riding going on Saturday mm-hmm. night. We've got the UFC fight on Saturday night. We've got rugby going on all weekend. We've got NASCAR all weekend. And, you know, every one of those entities, we have all decided that instead of calling it competition, we're calling it co-opetition.
Nice.
So we are all cooperating together, even though our events are competing with each other. We're going to do a fan fest on Thursday from 3 to 6 down at the Downtown Event Center where we're all going to be there. We're going to have UFC fighters. We're going to have rugby players. We're going to have NASCAR drivers all down there at the Downtown Event Center right before the Golden Knights have their viewing party at 7 o'clock. We're taking the Hauler Parade through downtown for the first time ever. That's going to go through there about 6:15 or 6:20. And then you've got the Parade of Nations for rugby that's going to take place about 6:45 right before the Golden Knights drop the puck. And it's just I just want to commend this entire sports community mm-hmm. of coming together and being able to do all this on one weekend.
I think it's awesome. Not only are we known for having some of the best entertainers, restaurants, executive chefs. I mean, we have the sports, like you mentioned. It's awesome.
Well, and I think, you know, I think Las Vegas went through some phases. Mm-hmm. I think we went through that phase probably in the 90s and the early 2000s where we were the hotel. It was the hotel phase.
Right.
We're building all these beautiful, glamorous, big hotels from the Bellagio and the Palazzo and Venetian and all these new places went up. Then we kind of got into the restaurant. We're the restaurant capital. We had all these celebrity chefs mm-hmm. coming in, Wolfgang Puck's coming in, and Giada's coming in, all these different people. Now we've become a sports thing. We've got all these sports teams coming in. So it's kind of like the next evolution of Las Vegas. We were the hotel town. We were the gambling town. Then we're the hotel town. Then we're the restaurant mm-hmm. town. Now we're the sports town. I don't know what's next. I'm pretty excited to see what it is.
This is awesome.
But I think it's terrific. But we are certainly in that sports phase right now that's like no other city in America.
I love it. So this weekend, if we don't have tickets to attend the races, can we still buy tickets? And if so, where?
You can. Best thing is just go to lvms.com.
Okay.
That's our website. You can get tickets for all of our events and the Neon Garage. They'll leave them for you at the Will Call window, or you can probably print them at home. I think we're in the 21st century.
Yeah, I think you are.
Yep.
And then also you have someone really special singing your national anthem, kicking off this weekend. Tell us about that.
Cassidy Pope, country music singer. She was the winner, I think, the third year of The Voice. So we're really excited about having Cassidy out to sing the national anthem. She's a big race fan. She's a huge NASCAR fan. She wanted to come to the race anyway, and I was kind of like, well, if you're going to come to the race, can you sing? And I believe she and her boyfriend are coming in to see a concert on Saturday night. I'm not sure who they're going to see. You know, her boyfriend, I think I'm making it, his name is Sam, and I think it's Palladio or Palladillo. I'm not sure how you say his last name, but he used to be on that show Nashville. If you ever watched Nashville, he played a character called Gunner on Nashville. And so they're here for a concert Saturday night, wanted to come to the race. I said, oh, hey, how about singing the anthem while you're here? And she was up for it, and yeah, we're excited about having her out because she's a big star.
Now, do you organize a lot? I know you have a great team out there, Aaron and Kevin, that whole team, they're fantastic. How long does it take to plan this weekend?
I used to say it takes 51 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Now that we've got two races, it probably takes 26 weeks. We will have a meeting on Tuesday of next week to talk about everything that either went wrong or went well for us to start preparing for the September event, the first playoff race, now that we have two events a year. So it's a year-long process. Now, there's certain things that get a little bit more harried as you get closer to an event, obviously, like anything is. But there is planning that goes on within 2 days after this event that we'll start planning for the next one.
That's awesome. I wish you all the best of luck. I'm sure it'll be completely a success this weekend, as it always is. And for fans that want to buy tickets, go to the website, LVMS.com, and buy your tickets. I suggest you go because the weekend is so fun. It's jam-packed, great food, great company. I think it's a good social gathering as well.
It absolutely is. And it's, you know, the other cool thing is all kids 12 and under are free on Friday, free on Saturday, and get in for $10 on Sunday.
Do you suggest wearing earplugs or just letting them hear it all?
Well, it's kind of, no, I'd wear earplugs. It's still loud even with earplugs, right. But I'd wear your earphones and go get a scanner so you can listen to the drivers when they get mad at other drivers.
Oh, that's, do they really?
Oh, goodness.
They
yes.
talk smack?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, see, it's like, you know, football, they talk smack and they shove each other. Well, they can't do that in a race car going 195 miles an hour.
They sideswipe each other.
So basically, you're just screaming at the guy at your spotter and he's the one that has to listen to it. So they don't find out about it till the race is over how bad the guy was mad at them.
So when they're actually racing and they're talking smack to one another?
Well, they're not really talking to one another because they can't hear each other. They just get mad at that guy. And then what happens is the TV networks pick it up, and then those guys go back after the race and they watch the TV broadcast and like, that so-and-so said so-and-so about me. Well, I'm going to have another thing for him when I see him at the racetrack
exactly.
next week. And that's kind of the way that
so
goes.
So they have those rivalries, too.
Oh, absolutely. If you would hear some of the in-car radio, I mean, really, you just go to a race and get a scanner and listen to some of the in-car radio, you're like, oh, that dude hates that dude. Well, the problem is sometimes it's heat of the moment. You get over it. Because chances are, the guy you're mad at now, you're mad at another guy 10 laps later.
Well, whoever wins that big old trophy, I wish him all the best of luck. That trophy is huge.
It is huge, and it's heavy.
We were talking earlier because it's like the football players go for the jewelry, and the NASCAR racers go for the big trophy.
That's true. They get big trophies.
All right. Jeff, thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you for having me. Sorry, John.
Yeah, he's awesome. All right, guys, check us out on VegasSportsGirl.com. Check us out on social. Share us, like us, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Thanks for tuning in.